Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Once again, we continue our regular feature Ideas Matter, checking in with the public humanities. Today we check in with Mass Humanities to find out about the Disability History Museum, an online resource and archive that focuses on the history of disability and disability policy in the United States. We're joined by Lori Block, founder of the DHM, and Plune Boresius, who is director of grants and programs for Mass Humanities. With them, we'll explore the value and creation of online digital humanities resources, as well as this amazing collection of materials on the history of disability. Lori and Plune, thank you very much for being with us. What a great pleasure.
Good morning,
Joe.
Thank you very much for having for being with us and being a part of the program. Plune, let us begin with you of talking about, from a humanities standpoint, of what is possible when it comes to this collection of materials.
What is possible is to put together materials from a wide range of disciplines and to think about humanities questions that are actually public humanities questions that are pretty important to us. They're what we would call social contract questions. They are in the realm of what do we owe each other and how do we deal with that. If you think about disability, then it suggests that there is ability, and it would be the ability to participate in society as a full member. And if there are people who cannot, then what do we expect of people to contribute in a sort of more regular sense of the word? And if they can't, how do we deal with that as a society? How do we all together, make ourselves a whole? And so that's not that simple. There used to be a lot more disability than there is now. If you think of all these common childhood diseases that would cause blindness, for instance. If you think about the book series Little House on the Prairie, there's this heart-wrenching book in which the sister contracts a disease and ends up blind. But what is different about this from what became before is that the sister goes to a school and learns to read Braille and then gets a job. And the history of the development of those of schools, of participatory programs, and education, and our thinking about that is what you can find on a website like this. And it's a product of the 19th century and the 20th century, really.
So, Lori Block, the founder of the Disability History Museum, tell us a little bit about what motivated you to put this together and making all of this available to us.
Well, like many people who work with people with disabilities or disability issues, I have a family member with a disability. But more specifically, I think I belong to the first generation of women who knew prior to their children being born that I have twins, that one of my children would have a significant, incurable, disabling condition. And when I was pregnant, very early on, both my husband and I encountered medical issues, social attitudes. Eventually, once my children were born, all kinds of services that were funded publicly, privately, through philanthropic resources, all kinds of things that I had known nothing about previously. And pretty early on, even when I was pregnant, I realized that the front of possibilities for a child like mine had moved forward. And I began to wonder what that was built upon, who did the work, why did so few people understand the range of resources and knowledge that was available, and things were changing very rapidly at that time. I mean, my children were born in the 80s, not, the ADA hadn't even been passed at this point. But you know, the world of medicine spoke a very different language than the world of educators. The world of educators even spoke a different language than the world of disability rights advocates. So I had lots of questions. Diagnosis isn't the same thing as prognosis. And I felt I owed a debt to all the parents, all the advocates, all the people who had made the life that lay ahead of us so much easier than it had been for previous generations. And so I kind of wandered not into support groups for moms, but into the archives.
What did you find in the archives? What did you find in the archives? And talk a little bit about the importance and how that helps now that people have access to it.
Well, disability is everywhere. There's always been people with in the archives. There's always been people with disabilities in society. What the conditions are changes, what the consequences of them change. And by that, if you think about, Plun gave an example about Little House on the Prairie, you know, diabetes before insulin was discovered and then manufactured easily was a wasting disease that was guaranteed to be terminal. And then it becomes manageable for most of the 20th century, and now it's epidemic. So there's, you know, our physiological relationship changes, and you see that in the archives, but you also see how towns managed their alms houses, how schools were built for special education, how veterans with disabilities have been provided well or badly since the revolution. All kinds of things. It's enormous how much material is there. It's a huge part of our society's endeavor. If you start asking questions, not what's in there about disability, but how has society defined the public good and for whom, it kind of opens up all kinds of areas to look in. As for what's on www.disabilitymuseum.org, it's an online entity, we've got advertising, annual reports from different types of institutions. There are many kinds of cartoons about disabilities, and the Social Security Administration produced all kinds of public education comic books. There are magazine articles taking up various topics, newspaper coverage, postcards. There are postcards from superintendents from institutions. There are postcards of like carte de visite kind of advertising services of disabled people. There are postcards that are disability jokes that are often nasty. There's patent files. We've got lots of speeches. Our goal in developing our collection was to not be comprehensive, but to introduce the range of resources that you could begin to look for the history of people with disabilities.
And Plun, as we end in our final moment, give us a sense of how this fits into the type of projects that Mass Humanities likes to fund.
Well, I mean, first of all, there are not that many people working on this, what is really brings up lots of public humanities questions. But secondly, if anybody asks us to fund a website, the first thing we ask is, will anybody look at this? And then there are also some things that just need to be done. And if you listen to Lori, there's a huge range of fields from which these materials come. And that also means that they're not in any one library or any one place where you look. And so the interdisciplinarity of this really makes something accessible that otherwise one would have to do a great deal of work at whatever level you want to encounter it. And it's a very accessible website so that it's open for anyone with questions that are coming out of their own lives or teenagers writing papers or anybody wondering about the civil rights issue of the Americans with Disabilities Act, which is, by the way, 25 years old this year. So that the use is there for a lot of people. And we also knew from having worked with Lori that She wasn't just going to make it and then let it sit around in a dark corner of the internet. We knew that she would push it and work on it and make sure that people would engage with it because that's her goal. And so she is continuing to work on new materials that will be for specific groups like teachers for teacher education or exhibits that people can use to look at a particular topic. So it fits very well in what we do. We're very happy to have funded it and are funding it.
To learn more,
so
you can...
Grateful.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. To learn more, you can visit disabilitymuseum.org. Disabilitymuseum.org, you can also see what other projects Mass Humanities has funded during the past 15 years by visiting masshumanities.org/grants/passgrants. All of our Ideas Matter segments are available at wamc.org/term/ideas matter. Lori Block and Plune Boresius, thank you very much for joining us. Have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you very much.
Always
bye
a pleasure.
Bye.
Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.